Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, April 19th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Ukraine says Russia's assault on the Donbass region is underway.
Most major U.S. airlines are no longer requiring masks on domestic flights.
A top Fed official says a 75 basis point hike may be in play.
And Netflix, IBM, and Johnson & Johnson all report earnings today.
New York Mayor Adams says the city is not ready yet to bring back indoor mask mandates. Plus, there's a rise in migrants attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanch, Howard Sports. Yankees are in Detroit tonight. Mets have a doubleheader with the Giants. NBA playoff wins for Philadelphia, Dallas, and Golden State.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA.
And U.S. futures are lower this morning. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down about 10 points. Dow futures down 51. NASDAQ futures down 44. 10-year Treasury down 8/32. Yield 2.88%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.45%. Nathan.
All right, Karen. We'll have more on the markets in a minute. First, the latest on the war. Russia's assault on Ukraine's Donbass region has begun. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says they will not give up without a fight. Amy Morris has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Zelensky said Russian forces have launched a new campaign to conquer the Donbass region in the east of Ukraine.
A significant part of the entire Russian army is now concentrated on this offensive. No matter how many Russian troops are driven there, we will fight.
Meanwhile, the U.S. military will start training Ukrainian troops on how to operate the howitzers that the U.S. is sending Ukraine. Pentagon spokesman John Kirby.
That training will occur outside of Ukraine, and then they'll be reintroduced back into their country to train their colleagues.
This as the remaining defenders of Mariupol are surrounded by Kremlin forces, but they have not surrendered that key port city. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Well, President Joe Biden will hold a call with key allies later today to discuss Ukraine. Meanwhile, the U.S. has backed off any suggestion that its officials would boycott Group of 20 meetings this week if Russia takes part. The Treasury Department says Secretary Janet Yellen will participate in some sessions this week.
Well, the war has in part led the World Bank to cut its 2022 economic outlook, Karen, and the bank's chief economist, Carmen Reinhart, added she would not rule out further downgrades. In an interview with Bloomberg, Reinhart laid out the downside risks facing the global economy.
Array of disruptions from China's new lockdowns, from the impacts yet to be fully felt of the Russia-Ukraine war on food prices, on global supply chains. And if, you know, bad came to worse, could there be another episode of financial contagion?
The World Bank's chief economist, Carmen Reinhart, says growth will slow to 3.2%. That's down from a January prediction of 4.1%.
Meanwhile, Nathan, St. Louis Fed President James Bullard said the Fed needs to move quickly to raise rates to around 3.5% this year. He also says the central bank should not rule out rate increases of 75 basis points to fight inflation.
I would point out that the 1994 cycle where we raised the policy rate 300 basis points in a year. And in that cycle, there was a 75 basis point increase at one point. So I wouldn't rule it out, but it's not my base case here.
St. Louis Fed President James Bullard also said that talks of a U.S. recession is premature.
Well, Bullard's hawkish comments may be piling on to weakness for a traditional haven currency. The Japanese yen is weaker against the dollar for a 13th straight day. It's extending its longest losing streak in at least a half century. Right now, the yen's trading at 128.35 against the dollar.
Now to the latest on the pandemic, Nathan, and a major development in the air. The Transportation Security Administration saying it will no longer enforce the COVID mask mandate on public transportation. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
This after a Florida judge struck down the remainder of the mandate, saying the CDC went too far. The TSA says for now it will not enforce a masking mandate. White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki says the ruling is disappointing.
We also think the mask mandate should be in place and that it's safer for individuals who are flying to continue to wear masks.
So the major U.S. air carriers have now made masking optional for the time being. Delta, United, Southwest, Alaska, American, some of the international flights will continue to have the mandate for now. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. And Uber also announced this morning that its riders and drivers will no longer be required to wear masks.
Turning to corporate earnings this morning, we hear from more than a dozen companies in the S&P 500 today. They include IBM, Johnson & Johnson, and Netflix. Here with a Netflix preview is Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
Shares of the streaming leader have taken a real beating since its last earnings report in January, down about 33%. That follows a disappointing outlook for subscriber growth amid a flood of competition. But key to its first quarter results out later today, the impact of a recent price increase and the suspension of service in Russia, and both could have a negative impact on results. Still, forecasts call for 2.8 million subscriber adds for a total of nearly 225 million worldwide. Look for earnings per share of $2.91 and revenue of $7.95 billion. Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Well, new developments this morning on Elon Musk's $43 billion pursuit of Twitter. And we get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Karen. Bloomberg sources say Apollo Global Management is considering backing a potential deal for Twitter and could provide Elon Musk or another bidder like private equity firm Thoma Bravo with equity or debt to support an offer. The participation could come in the form of credit or preferred equity. A filing from last week shows Morgan Stanley is advising Musk in his unsolicited offer to take Twitter private. Twitter is enlisting the help of Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan Chase to respond to Musk's hostile bid. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks. And a bullish stock call on Musk's current company, Tesla. Kathy Woods, ARK Investment Management, now expects shares of the electric car maker to more than quadruple to $4,600 by 2026. Wood has long been an ardent supporter of Tesla and Elon Musk. Tesla is the largest holding in Woods' flagship ARK Innovation ETF. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street, 41 degrees in Central Park. We have an accident on the inbound upper level of the George Washington Bridge. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with what else is going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Now that an indoor mask mandate is back in place in Philadelphia, will New York City do the same? COVID-19 case numbers are rising in several cities. Mayor Eric Adams, who had been quarantining due to having the virus, was asked about mask rules in the city.
We are advising New Yorkers to wear a mask, but we're not at the point of mandate right now. Our hospitalizations are at a steady level, deaths are at a steady level.
Mayor Adams says we are encouraging New Yorkers to wear the mask if you feel uncomfortable. The Supreme Court is declining to wade into a lawsuit filed by four New York City public school employees. It's over a policy that they be vaccinated against COVID-19. A judge has ruled Amazon must reinstate a former employee who was fired in the early days of the pandemic after leading a protest in Staten Island calling for the company to do more to protect workers against COVID. The judge ruled that Amazon must offer the former worker, Gerald Bryson, his job back as well as lost wages and benefits. The Biden administration is pledging not to litter in space. Vice President Harris said the U.S. will no longer engage in anti-satellite missile testing in space. Harris explained the testing causes debris and it's dangerous to research in facilities like the International Space Station.
A piece of space debris the size of a basketball, which travels at thousands of miles per hour, would destroy a satellite. Even a piece of debris as small as a grain of sand could cause serious damage.
Vice President Harris says we are the first nation to make such a commitment and called on other nations to follow. The number of migrants attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border has surged in recent weeks. It comes as the U.S. prepares for even larger numbers with the expected lifting of a pandemic-era order that turned away asylum seekers. Immigration authorities stopped migrants more than 221,000 times along the southwest border in March, the highest in nearly two decades. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan, first of the game twos, first round of the NBA playoffs in Philadelphia. Sixers, second straight route of Toronto, 112-97. Joel Embiid scored 31 in Dallas. The Mavs were again without their star, Luka Doncic, but Jalen Brunson poured in a career-high 41 points, 110-104 over Utah to tie that series at one. Golden State by 20 over Denver. Steph Curry off the bench to score 34 points in just 23 minutes, and the Warriors go up 2-0. The Celtics, Marcus Smart, named Defensive Player of the Year. First guard to win the award since Gary Payton in 1996, and Payton, the Hall of Famer, went to Celtics practice in Boston to tell Smart he had won. Celtics Nets game two tomorrow in Boston. Rangers and the Winnipeg Jets tonight at the Garden. Carolina won last night, so the Canes lead the Rangers by 2 points as they battle to win the Metropolitan Division. Mets and Giants rained out. Single admission doubleheader starts just after 3 o'clock. Tyler McGill, yet to allow a run in two starts, goes in the opener, and Max Scherzer pitches the nightcap, his first Mets start at Citi Field. Gerrit Cole for the Yankees tonight in Detroit. Jake Arrieta retiring at age 36. Struggled in recent years, but Arrieta won the National League Cy Young Award back in 2015 while with the Cubs. NFL Draft starts a week from Thursday in Las Vegas. Been a lot of quarterback movement this offseason. Could be another move before the draft, with Carolina still looking for a QB and said to be trying to acquire Baker Mayfield from Cleveland. Browns have a new QB, Deshaun Watson. Speaking of quarterbacks, the latest edition of Made for TV Golf will be June 1st in Las Vegas. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers versus Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. John Stashauer, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thank you. S&P futures now down 13 points. Dow futures down 76. NASDAQ futures lower by 64 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield very close to 2.89%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:3, all weather still under flood watch till late this morning. It'll turn mostly sunny this afternoon. Breezy mid-50s for highs, upper 50s tomorrow. Clouds return Thursday with highs in the low 60s. Right now, 41 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower along with European shares, while bonds around the globe slump as investors weigh the prospect of aggressive policy action to curb inflation. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day. On Bloomberg, S&P futures down about 9 points, Dow futures down 38, NASDAQ futures down 42. The DAX in Germany is down 1%, the 10-year Treasury down 8/32, yield 2.88%, yield on the 2-year 2.46%. NYMEX crude oil is down 1.6% at $1.73 at $106.48 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4% or $8.30 at $19.78 an ounce. The euro 1.0791 against the dollar, British pound 1.3018, and the yen 128.32. And Bitcoin this morning, it's now higher, up 0.1% at $40,720. And today we are getting reports on housing starts and building permits at 8:30 Wall Street time, and Netflix among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. After days of regrouping and reinforcing, the Russian military began a new phase of the war in Ukraine. Ukrainian officials said that the Kremlin's forces launched a full-scale ground offensive to take control of the country's industrial heartland, the Donbas region. Most major U.S. airlines are no longer requiring travelers or employees to wear face coverings on domestic and some international flights. The decisions came after a U.S. judge overturned a federal mandate for passengers to cover their faces. In MLB, the Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Orioles 5-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors beat the Nuggets to lead the series 2-0. In the NHL, the Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We're really pleased to be speaking this morning with Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. Great to have you on with us this morning, Liz Ann, and obviously a lot of attention this morning on the comments we heard yesterday from the president of the St. Louis Fed, James Bullard, obviously a very vocal hawk, but he's saying 75 basis points, you can't rule it out next month. Is that talk you pay attention to?
I think, you know, this parlor game that's been going on of how many rate hikes to expect the full year, I think misses what the Fed is attempting to do, which is front-end load many of these rate hikes. Now, whether it's 75 or not, I think that's a little bit bold. I don't view that as a prediction or a forecast on his part. I think 50 is still the base case, but it's probably going to be 50 at least two or three meetings so that they can get closer to the neutral rate in a shorter amount of time, which may give them some breathing room to not have to be as aggressive toward the end of the year, but we'll see.
Now, if we do see that kind of front-end loading by the Fed, that kind of aggressive move successively, how does that affect your strategy in this market?
Well, the confirmation hearing that Powell had, I think one of the more interesting things that happened was when Richard Shelby asked him whether he'd be willing to accept a recession, as Volcker did, in order to sort of bring down inflation. And he paused and said very thoughtfully, I think the history will show that the answer to that question is yes. Now, I don't think that means Fed officials are gunning for a recession, but that may be what it takes in order to rein in aggregate demand sufficient enough to bring inflation down, given that they obviously can't directly target food or energy prices as it ties into the Iraq war. They can't ramp up semiconductor production, but they can ease aggregate demand. And they're starting this process of more aggressive rate hikes with growth already slowing. It's, you know, if Atlanta Fed is accurate, we're only at 1% in the first quarter, battling a 40-year high in inflation while you're at sub 2% growth is a very unique set of circumstances. I think investors have to be somewhat cautious, adopt the disciplines around diversification and rebalancing, and that's where we are.
How do you rebalance? Do you look at different sectors? Do you look at different styles? What's the strategy?
Well, rebalancing, obviously, you're letting your portfolio tell you what to do, and that asset classes move in and out of favor, and they therefore adjust relative to your strategic allocation. So one of the things we've been suggesting is if your rebalancing is done either by an advisor or yourself on a calendar basis, meaning you might rebalance on a quarterly basis at the end of the year, consider having it be more portfolio-based, volatility-based. Take advantage of volatility and maybe up the pace of rebalancing. We've also adopted about 6 weeks ago sector neutrality, feeling like trying to sort of play a short-term sector game is going to be a bit trickier. What has been more consistent is factor-based investing. So leadership at the factor level, and I look at the Bloomberg factors on a day-to-day basis, that's where there's been more consistency. And this is a time in the cycle where you absolutely want to focus on quality. Defensive areas have been doing well, but there's a way to play defense even in segments of the market that are generally considered more offensive. You just want to stay focused on those quality characteristics, strong balance sheet, strong free cash flow yield, strong dividend yield, and positive earnings revisions in an environment where those are harder to find these days.
Got about a minute left here, Liz. And does an inflation-fighting Fed have an impact on the earnings outlook for corporations?
Well, we have seen a little bit of a rolling over in the forward profit margins. I don't think we'll end this season with a serious dent to profit margins, but I think that will be the bigger story going forward. There's a misperception out there that a strong PPI is negative for profit margins. Actually, more U.S. companies benefit from a higher PPI, But the labor cost component is such a large part of the input costs that I think the story going into next quarter earnings season will probably be more about a compression coming in profit margins unless there's an easing in some of these labor cost pressures.
Thanks for this, Liz Ann. Again, great having you on with us. Liz Ann Saunders, Chief Investment Strategist at Charles Schwab. Looking ahead to this market open, futures are moving lower. We have S&P futures down almost 6 points now. Dow futures down 22. NASDAQ futures lower by 27 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield, 2.88%. And the yield on the 2-year right now, 2.46%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather still under the flood watch till late this morning. It'll turn mostly sunny and breezy this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Sunshine upper 50s tomorrow. Low 60s, mostly cloudy by Thursday. Right now, 40 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 11:30 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 106.1 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers Simple IBKR Global Trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, Russia's military shelled southern and eastern Ukraine as its invasion continues. President Vladimir Zelensky says Moscow is focused on conquering the eastern Donbas region.
Russian troops begun the battle for the Donbas, for which they have been preparing for a long time. A significant part of the entire Russian army is now concentrated on this offensive.
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky says his nation will continue to defend the region, and U.S. President Joe Biden will hold a call with key allies today to discuss the war.
Well, meantime, Karen, the U.S. is expected to participate at Group of 20 meetings this week, even if Russia attends. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen had previously said the U.S. may boycott some meetings should Russia participate, but a senior Treasury official says Yellen does not want Russia to stop the U.S. and allies from the work it needs to do at the G20.
Well, amid the fallout from the war, Nathan, World Bank Chief Economist Carmen Reinhart tells Bloomberg it's cutting its 2022 economic outlook.
Will it be cut again? Certainly wouldn't rule it out, but the point I'm making is we are living a period of exceptional uncertainty.
World Bank Chief Economist Carmen Reinhart says it's lowering estimates for global growth from 4.1% in January to 3.2%.
And back in the U.S., new guidance on masks from the nation's biggest airlines and ride-sharing giant Uber. Let's get the details live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Renita, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Most major airlines are dropping mask mandates on domestic and some international flights. It comes after a U.S. judge overturns a federal mask mandate for passengers. So the five largest U.S. carriers say the use of masks will be optional for both passengers and staff. And just this morning, rideshare giant Uber says it'll no longer require drivers or riders to wear masks in the U.S. But if you feel uncomfortable, Uber says you can cancel a ride and asks riders and drivers to be respectful if people prefer wearing a mask. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And tech giant Netflix reporting earnings today. Analysts will look at how a recent price increase and suspension of service in Russia impacts first quarter results. We did watch earnings from Johnson & Johnson cross the Bloomberg first quarter profit, beating analyst estimates, but it lowered its outlook for the year and said it's suspending its COVID-19 vaccine sales guidance. That's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, 40 degrees in Central Park, and we've got big delays on the GWB. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Will New York City bring back an indoor mask mandate like Philadelphia? COVID-19 case numbers are rising in Philly and other cities. Mayor Eric Adams says New York is not at the point of mandating right now.
We are encouraging New Yorkers, you know, wear the mask if you feel uncomfortable, if you don't know the status of a person's vaccine, if you had gatherings. So there is an encouragement we're putting out to New Yorkers. We're just not at the place of mandate right now.
Mayor Adams says hospitalizations and deaths are at steady levels in the city. U.S. Customs says the number of migrants attempting to cross the U.S.-Mexico border has surged in recent weeks. It comes as the U.S. prepares for even larger numbers with the expected lifting of a pandemic-era order that turned away asylum seekers. Authorities say that there was a 34% increase in stopped migrants at the southwest border in March compared to the previous month. The U.S. will not test some anti-satellite weapons in space. The move comes as Moscow blew up a dead satellite last November with a ground-launched missile. Vice President Kamala Harris says that space debris could endanger the International Space Station or spacecraft.
This debris presents a risk to the safety of our astronauts, our satellites, and our growing commercial presence.
Vice President Harris says fast-moving debris the size of a basketball could destroy a satellite. The fiancé of former President Donald Trump's eldest son, Kimberly Guilfoyle, is said to have met with the House committee yesterday investigating the U.S. Capitol riot. Lawmakers say she raised funds for the rally and was in direct contact with its key participants. A lawyer for recently resigned New York Lieutenant Governor Brian Benjamin told a Manhattan judge yesterday that he expects to challenge corruption charges brought against Benjamin last week. The charges include bribery, fraud, and conspiracy. The Supreme Court has rejected a challenge from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, and Maryland to the 2017 tax law that capped federal tax deductions for state and local taxes. The suit argued that the Republican-led tax law signed by then-President Donald Trump unfairly singled out high-tax states in which Democrats predominate. The law caps a deduction for state and local taxes known as SALT at $10,000. In sports, the Yankees, they will visit Detroit, Tangle tonight. Meanwhile, the Mets will host the Giants. Yesterday in MLB, the Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Orioles 5-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors beat the Nuggets to lead the series 2-0. In the NHL, the Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. It is 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market, and for that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, already getting off to a busy start, Kriti, with earnings crossing the Bloomberg.
I know, I'm still rubbing the sleep out of my eyes, Nathan.
Sorry.
And here we are with a lot of breaking news. Let's start off with Johnson & Johnson. J&J is your ticker, down 3.5% this morning. This comes after Johnson & Johnson suspends its COVID-19 vaccine sales guidance due to a global supply surplus and demand uncertainty. Now, their 2022 forecast is going to be everything excluding vaccines. Now, it is worth noting that Johnson & Johnson does not have the majority share of vaccines. Of course, still falls behind Moderna and Pfizer. Pfizer, which does have the majority of a vaccine distribution, at least here in the United States. So this might not necessarily be that material as opposed to another one of its competitors. But still, we're going to keep an eye on these shares. J&J down 3.5%. And in that kind of COVID-related news, the mask mandate, you've had several reports on it this morning. You are seeing a little bit of a read through into the stock market as well. Now that there is no requirement for masks to be worn on public transportation, that includes airlines, that even includes Uber. So you are seeing a little bit of movement, especially for the airlines, where you did see a lot of hesitancy for passengers to be wearing masks on the plane. So the likes of American Airlines, AAL is your ticker, up 0.3%. United, UAL, up 0.3% as well. And Delta, DAL, also up about 0.5%. This is significant. On a risk-off morning, you're seeing airlines post a little bit of green, so that's interesting. And Uber as well, in the same vein, saying it's no longer going to ask riders and drivers in the United States to wear masks, joining a growing number of major transport providers shifting their policy. Uber shares are about flat, but anything can happen, Nathan.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see whether there's a pop or even a divergence between Uber and Lyft. We haven't heard a similar announcement from Uber's competitor. How about a Twitter update, Kriti?
a Twitter update. So much update. I can. I'll do it just for you, Nathan.
Thank
TWTR. Shares are down about 0.5%. This is interesting because they were down by much more earlier in the session. So you are clearly seeing a lot of movement here. Remember, this morning, this stock has the most pre-market volume out of all the other stocks in the S&P 500. So keep an eye on it. Naturally, this comes after headlines from Apollo Global saying it's potentially interested in helping finance a bid for Twitter. This, of course, follows Elon Musk's $43 billion unsolicited offer to take the company private, all according to people familiar with the matter. Apollo has not yet commented, but this is significant because we've talked a lot about the potential of Elon Musk to bring on another bidder like private equity firm Thoma Bravo or use debt to kind of support their offer. Remember, as I'm going to use Ed Ludlow's phrasing here, Elon Musk is certainly the richest man in the world, but he is cash poor. So to make this investment happen, sometimes you have to kind of leverage Tesla shares or leverage other properties or et cetera, other holdings. So that's going to be the concern here. Now, Apollo Global allegedly interested in helping finance that bid. We'll keep an eye on that for you. TWTR down about 0.5%, but it's not the only story this morning that's moving. I want to introduce Plug Power. PLUG is your ticker. Up 4.5%. Once again, on the background of a risk-off day, 4.5% is nothing to scoff at. Announcing an agreement with Walmart for an option to deliver up to 20 tons per day of liquid green hydrogen to power material handling lift trucks across distribution and fulfillment centers in the United States. Now, remember, Plug Power is one of those EV companies that soared with the likes of Tesla, with the likes of Rivian, because they provide that clean energy. And you can see getting a very strong contract from Walmart this morning, Nathan.
Yeah, from one of the biggest retailers in the world. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, as always, thanks for keeping us up to speed on what's happening in the pre-market. Looking ahead to the open, it is a down session with S&P futures down 7 points right now, Dow futures down 46, and NASDAQ futures lower by 30 points. 10-year Treasury is down 9/32. The yield 2.88%, yield on the 2-year 2.46. NYMEX crude's down 1.5%, down $1.57. $106.64 gets you a barrel of West Texas Intermediate. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Flood watch for about another hour or so. It'll turn mostly sunny this afternoon with a high in the mid-50s. Upper 50s tomorrow, low 60s on Thursday. Right now, 40 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow, and futures are lower this morning. It's another busy morning for corporate earnings. And we go to the first word, breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. Modest losses in the futures right now. Dow futures down 48 points. S&P's dropped 7. NASDAQ futures are off by 28. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.88%. Gold is down 3. Oil trading lower. And Bitcoin is little changed. Hong Kong fell 2.3% overnight, while European markets are also in the red this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, housing starts. Regarding earnings, J&J cut its forecast and suspended its COVID vaccine guidance. And Hasbro EPS missed estimates. In deal news, people familiar said that Apollo is considering backing Elon Musk in his bid for Twitter, and Zendesk is said to be working on a potential sale. In other news, Fed's Bullard says a 75 basis point hike could be an option if needed. And wrapping things up, AppLovin was rated a new buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And yeah, watching Johnson & Johnson stock this morning down 2.6% in early trading. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Russia's military targeted regions in Ukraine's south and east overnight for shelling. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky says Moscow has begun a new campaign to conquer the Donbas area in the east of the country. The fiance of former President Donald Trump's eldest son, Kimberly Guilfoyle, met with the House committee investigating the U.S. Capitol riot. An attorney representing Guilfoyle has previously stated that she has done nothing wrong. In MLB, the Red Sox lost. The A's beat the Orioles 5-1. In the NBA playoffs, the Warriors beat the Nuggets to lead the series 2-0. In the NHL, the Devils and Capitals won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael Barr, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. Ranked a top 50 national public university by U.S. News & World Report and a top 10 for best career placement among public schools by the Princeton Review. Learn more at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Most major U.S. airlines are no longer requiring travelers or employees to wear masks on domestic and some international flights. That came hours after a federal judge overturned a mandate for passengers to cover their faces. Uber has also lifted the mask mandate. In Shanghai, authorities reported 7 more deaths from the coronavirus. China's financial hub is grappling with a record outbreak that's brought unprecedented disruptions to residents and threatens the country's economic growth. The 25 million people living in Shanghai have been locked down for weeks. And the flight debut of NASA's Mega Moon rocket faces additional delays following a string of failed fueling tests. Officials say it'll be challenging to meet a launch window in early to mid-June. The next opportunity to send an empty capsule to the moon on a test flight would be at the end of June or July. The 30-story Space Launch System rocket has been on the pad at Kennedy Space Center for the past month. It will return to the hangar next week for valve and fuel leak repairs. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Nathan.
Okay, Karen, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 6:51 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the U.S. halting the mask mandate on planes, trains, and buses, President Biden hosting a call this morning with allies on the war in Ukraine, and Treasury Secretary Yellen backing away from boycotting some G20 sessions. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew is back with us to break down more on all these stories. Of course, the host of Sound On here on Bloomberg Radio. Let's start off with what's happening in Ukraine, Joe. Obviously, we've heard the Donbas offensive has begun. What are we expecting as the president gets ready for this virtual call later this morning?
A pretty stark statement to hear that from President Zelensky. The battle has begun. It's a little earlier than some had expected, Nathan. When we talked to military analysts, Russia seemed to have regrouped a bit more quickly, and there was a thought that Moscow might wait for Mariupol to fall so it could bring those Russian troops into the Donbas fight. So they're going into this with a slightly smaller force than some expected. To your point, the president will meet this morning with our European allies and partners on a couple of matters. There's going to be talk about another layer of sanctions, and that seems to be the case every time they meet. This could specifically be looking at banking and more specifically SureBank, possible a European oil ban as well, though that could be weeks off depending on how Germany feels about that, but also delivering weaponry. And there were 4 airplanes that arrived in Europe on Sunday that we heard about yesterday from Jen Psaki, the White House press secretary. They are full of the heavy artillery, the howitzers, the armored troop carriers, and some of the other equipment cleared in that recent $800 million tranche of weapons that's on its way to Ukraine. The question is, Nathan, can we get it there quickly enough into Ukraine and stage that in the areas in the east where they are most needed in time for the Ukrainian forces to meet the Russians? I'll add that we're going to be apparently providing howitzer training to Ukrainian forces outside of Ukraine. That could start as soon as they arrive, as soon as today. And pretty interesting to consider what we've heard from Vladimir Putin, that he's open to attacking supply lines from the U.S., from NATO, that are going into Ukraine. I'm sure they're going to be keeping a very tight lid on where that training is going to take place.
Yeah, and that brings back the obvious concern that has been expressed by the U.S. and NATO allies about being drawn more directly into the war. What is the level of concern at this point as those weapons start to move even more quickly into Ukraine?
Well, you know, it's interesting. It depends who you talk to. You raised a lot of eyebrows on Sunday. Senator Chris Coons, the Democrat from Delaware, what I was considering the most underreported story of the weekend. This is the man who sits in Joe Biden's old Senate seat, a close confidant of the White House, calling on national television to open the conversation about considering the addition of American ground troops in Ukraine. the level of pressure that lawmakers are hearing as these horrifying images come from places like Mariupol and Bucha is going to only increase the pressure to do more. His line was, Vladimir Putin will not stop unless we stop him. The White House reacted to that yesterday. Press Secretary Psaki was asked about it. They say, quote, we respectfully disagree, unquote.
Wow, very interesting to hear that kind of line drawn between the president and, as you say, a senator who is very close confidant to President Biden. We're also watching the World Bank IMF meetings, of course, the G20 meeting on the sidelines. And now there's a little bit of pullback from Treasury Secretary Yellen on this stance of if Russia's going to take part in these meetings, we're not going to go.
Yeah, this is an interesting wrinkle. At one point, the secretary was going to avoid these meetings altogether as Russia was planning to attend G20, remembering that China and India are in the G20. They are not prepared to kick Russia out or do anything about Russia's status here. But it looks like Yellen will attend some sessions. There are questions about whether it would be more effective, though, because, by the way, Ukraine has representatives here. They need to get some work done with the U.S., and she'll be there for that. Questions about whether it would be effective for Yellen to show up at meetings, one in particular on economic architecture, where we know the Russians will be there, and stand up, face off with them, call them out on a global level. At the G20 meeting, it would provide some monster headlines for this administration, though it is not expected to happen.
Got a couple minutes left here, Joe. Got to talk about the end, potentially, of the mask mandate in public transportation. Yeah. At least it's not going to be enforced at the moment.
Well, that's true. The White House, not too happy about this. They say they're disappointed in the decision. It emerged just before yesterday's White House briefing. The CDC has since weighed in to say, you know, the mandate is down, certainly for now. And this follows the Supreme Court knocking down President Biden's workplace vax or mask mandate. It's going to be now that airlines have acted and Uber. To your point, you were just talking about that a little while ago on the program. Uber is following as well. The mandates are down. It's going to be essentially impossible to get the toothpaste back in the tube here if that is what comes from this. The DOJ is looking at it, Nathan. We don't know if there will be a legal answer to this. We'll wait to hear more today.
Well, is there a possibility, though, that there could be legal pushback?
Yeah.
As you say, the dominoes have fallen.
That's right.
And it's going to be tough to set them back up.
Well, and there was no legal answer to the workplace mandate. The DOJ says it is reviewing the decision. We'll let you know if we hear more.
And finally, in our last minute here, the January 6th committee still working, still talking to people very close to former President Trump.
Yeah, that's right. Kimberly Guilfoyle was the most recent to sit down. There are questions about, you know, exactly how and when this is going to end, Nathan. We're in the middle of a midterm election year, and Democrats would like to get the work done before voters hit the polls. And not, of course, Republicans would prefer this not drag out throughout the year as well. There are questions and some suggesting that they hold primetime televised hearings to bring Americans in on what they have learned. But we simply don't know exactly what they're sitting on. At some point here, this needs to go public. We need a report out there so the country can move on.
Now, you got to think that that report, at least for the Democrats, they'd like to get it done before the midterms.
Absolutely.
Joe Matthew, always good to speak with you. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew, host of Sound On, which you can hear this afternoon and every afternoon, 5 p.m. Wall Street time weekdays on Bloomberg Radio. Read more on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Looking ahead to the market open, futures are moving lower. Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.